welcome back to another edition of A Closer Look. I'm your host, Laurie Hackett. And listeners, as you know, each month we gather to talk to community leaders and volunteers who are doing incredible things. The Lehigh Valley, really our entire region, is just a beautiful hub of collaboration, connection, and community. And this show, A Closer Look, gives us a chance to do exactly that, to take a closer look at who's doing such great things. Which brings me to my first guest tonight. So please join me in welcoming Scott Stevenson. And Scott is the president and CEO of Phoebe Ministries. Welcome, Scott.
Laurie, thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I'm so excited. I've had the chance to get to know you over the past few months, and that's certainly been a delight. But let's just start right in. What led you to Phoebe Ministries and the work that you do today?
So not my first job.
Okay.
So I had worked in healthcare and long-term care for 10 to 15 years prior to that. Worked for Diakon. I was a financial vice president of operations. And my position was in Mechanicsburg. I live in Ole, Pennsylvania, if anyone knows where Ole is.
Yes.
So it was 80 miles one way, 160 miles a day to go to work. After that, I was CFO of a hospital in Philadelphia. So that was 65 miles a day, leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning and going down 422 to the Schuylkill. And I was praying, God, please help me find a job that I would be a good fit for, that would be a good fit for me, you know, and I could bring value to the organization. And about 2 weeks later, a friend of mine called me and said, hey, did you hear the CFO of Phoebe Ministries is leaving? And I knew him. I used to work with this gentleman at St. Joe's in Reading. So went down, went through the process, and was hired as the CFO in April of 2006. It was just a blessing from God. I love the organization. I actually grew up local. I grew up in Coopersburg.
Oh, so you're certainly familiar with.
Yep, went to Southern Lehigh and was kind of back on my old stomping grounds.
Mm-hmm. And Scott, through that journey, how has your leadership style changed?
So I've always focused on leadership. I spent 6 years in the military. I think that helped me. Certainly when I was younger from a discipline perspective, but I worked with some really great people, very impressive people. One was a physician who went to the Air Force Academy, went to Yale, went to Harvard, and he really mentored me when I worked with him. I was stationed overseas in Germany, and he was there basically the whole time I was there, and we developed a friendship, and he really mentored me. So came out and always knew that I wanted to be the type of leader that focused on people and actually tried to help them be successful and looked at it like my job is to help them succeed in what they're doing. And that makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew I had had leaders in the past who I didn't want to be like. So I had examples of things I didn't want to do, but I had some really great leaders who I was like, I want to emulate those folks and try to be like them. So that's what I've tried to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I got my MBA at DeSales, and, you know, that's focused on leadership. That's really focused on team and those type of things. That's what I try to do. I try myself to be a good team member, but also a good team leader, and like to see my own leaders do that.
And speaking of leadership, so you've had some wonderful influences. I know you do it now. Are there any leadership lessons that you learn from residents?
Oh, certainly. So many of those residents are filled with grace. They just are so graceful. And I think that's an important part of leadership. I think you should bring grace to the table when you're a leader for the people who report to you. You know, I always tell people, you know, work's a very important part of life. But it's just that. It's a part of life. And when we have people leave the organization, I am never happy to see people leave. But I never get angry at people when they leave because my view is people need to do what's best for themselves and their families. And if they think this is the best move for them, for their family, how can you blame somebody for doing that? You can't. I'll always tell them, I'm not happy you're leaving, but you know, I wish you the best, and you got to do what's best for yourself.
And you have another ambassador.
That's exactly right.
Community.
Yep.
Let's talk about Phoebe in general. You know, we talked about your leadership style, what brought you here, but some listeners might not be as familiar with Phoebe. Tell us about the mission and the facilities and your purpose.
So Phoebe was founded in 1903 at the corner of 19th and Turner. I'm not sure those streets were there at that point in time, but there was an old farmhouse there. So that formed from the Reformed Church. We are a Christian faith-based organization. We are not an evangelical organization. We serve everybody and anybody, but we do what we do because of our faith in Christ, and we hope we demonstrate our faith beliefs through our actions. So we were found in there. They recognized a need for seniors who had nowhere to go, were in their homes or on a farm, and in 1903 we bought an old farmhouse at 19th and Turner, and at the end of the first year, we had two residents. At the end of 10 years, we think we had six at that point, and then it just grew from there. And by 1911, we built a 40,030-bed facility, and it was full, and we had almost five times as many waiting to come in. So it really grew from there, you know, primarily in Allentown until you get towards the 70s. So Allentown grew, but we have a multi-entity site. So we have sites in Richland Town, in Wernersville. We have a very large campus. We have eight affordable housing entities. We have a large pharmacy program that serves all of our facilities, our employees, but like 30 or 40 other similar companies. We do their pharmacy services, plus a multitude of other services and community-based services. So we've grown from a farmhouse on 19th and Turner to annual revenues of about $150 million. I think we have 1,300 employees focused on seniors from the day we started. And that's what we do today. We focus on caring for seniors. And our mission really is we want to promote fullness of life for everyone we serve. So regardless of where they are in the continuum, whether they're living in independent living over at Chestnut Ridge at Rodale, or if they're on our dementia unit in Allentown or one of the other facilities, we want them to have the best possible life they can, regardless of where they are life journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for sharing that. I could honestly listen. I could listen to you talk all day. Something that we talk a lot about on this program is collaboration. Are there partners that you work with throughout the year to fulfill Phoebe's mission?
Sure. We have wonderful partnership with Lehigh Valley, St. Luke's. They provide a medical directorship for us. We do telehealth with Lehigh Valley right now for a member of different services. Mm-hmm. They're great to work with. We have a wonderful program going now related to our organic farming that we're doing with Rodale, the Rodale Institute, and Jeff Katz, the CEO over there. That is tremendous and really taking off. A lot of interest in that, a lot of focus on. And then we grow those foods and we bring them back to the facility, and they're used in our dining program. So we're bringing organic foods to the people that we serve because we want them to be as healthy as possible. Care Patrol, there's a number of them out there we partner with day in and day out, and they help us be successful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And when people come together, we hear that a lot on this program, that we're good alone, but together is when things really...
We have legislators who help us too, like Mike Schlossberg, Mayor Turk. Mayor Turk was just at our gala event.
He sure was. One of my favorite mayors right there, and yours too, I'm sure.
he's a wonderful man, as is Mike Schlossberg, who has been very generous with his time for us. We were awarded a RAC grant that's from the state. And so for $1 million towards a repositioning we're doing at one of our campuses. Now, we have to pay $2 million, and then we get reimbursed for half of that. But thanks to him for that. That's awesome. Something. We provide a lot of charity care every year. So we serve a large Medicaid population. That makes it challenging for us financially because we lose money every day on Medicaid folks we serve. And I think 2 years ago, we had 100,000 Medicaid days in a year. So when you lose $130 a day, that's $13 million. Mm-hmm. So thanks to those folks for helping us out and trying to help us cover some of that shortfall.
What about your staff, Scott? I've met many of them. They are just so engaged and just so perfectly placed and supportive of your mission. What keeps them so engaged?
They love what we do. Mm-hmm. We treat people with grace. We have an initiative that started in 2000. So I became CEO in 2008. And in 2009, we started an initiative called Faith in Action. So that is not a religious initiative. It's a cultural initiative focused on employees and working with a large group of them who were nominated to be on the Faith in Action team on what we can do to create the best culture we can in the organization. That continues to thrive today. I had a meeting yesterday about that with the steering committee for that group. And folks, like I said, are nominated for that. So we have – everyone's on that committee. I have board members on that committee, but I also have housekeepers, pharmacy techs, executive directors across the board really focusing on what can we do to improve culture and keep improving culture here, because I want people to want to come to work.
Right.
So I always tell them, I don't fool myself and think somebody's getting in their car on Monday and going, yeah, baby,
I'm
into the office. But when they get here, I want them to feel good. I want people to feel like it can be a vocation for them. And if they want to, we always try to promote from within. And I would tell you, of our you know, our leadership roles and everything, I would bet over the last 15 years, 90% of those were internal promotions. We only go outside the organization if we don't have a qualified candidate to go into that role. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you it's working wonderfully. You can't make everyone happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to realize going into it that, listen, you're not going to create Eden, but you can create a place where people enjoy working, they feel respected, they're treated with grace, and if they want to move up the ladder, we want to help them do mm-hmm. that.
Oh, wonderful. Scott, is there someone in your past, well, I'm sure there are many people who influenced you, but as a young person, is there someone that really influenced you to go into this line of work?
Well, I think my direction came, and I don't know if this is genetic or not, my grandfather was a physician and had two brothers who were physicians. They all went to Hahnemann Medical School. My grandmother was a college graduated nurse back in like 1920. Not a lot of women going to college at that time, it's my understanding. So I think there was always a focus on medical. So when I went in the military, and I didn't choose this, but I was like a medic. I was an ophthalmology tech. I worked in the OR, worked in a clinic, did all that. Got out and went to school, and my lovely wife, Mary, I was a pre-med. I was at West Arizona, I was pre-med. I'm in my second year. I come home and she said, I think I'm pregnant.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, that takes care of graduate school at this point. So I went and talked to my advisor, and I can't do physics. Just I can't figure out how far the shot put's going to go in the ground. Anyway, so he said, you might as well get an accounting degree because you can go into marketing or communications. So I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And my first job out of college was for Chestnut Hill Hospital. So I got into finance with them. Not long after, I went to AXE, very, very large senior services organization. So that's how it grew.
You really combined your – right, what you grew up knowing and a logical next step when as your family was growing, going into finance.
Without a doubt.
Oh, that's great. Scott, we are at the end of our time already. But as we close out, two questions. First of all, what is one thing that you wish people understood more about older adults?
They are vibrant, graceful, filled with wisdom, and we should take more advantage of that.
Oh, so well said. And then as we close, because we talk a lot about volunteerism here, how can our listeners get involved as volunteers with Phoebe?
Oh, they can certainly reach out to us. You can reach out to any of our campuses. You could literally reach out to me if you wanted to, and I can get you directed in the right location. We would love to have folks volunteer for us. We have a great volunteer force right now. We have residents, obviously, who volunteer also, who live in the terrace or live down in the Phoebe apartments. But if you would like to do that, please reach out to Phoebe. You can call our general number, which you can easily find it online at phoebe.org. But we would love to have you come and volunteer with us.
Great. Well, Scott, thanks for being with us tonight.
It was great.
Well, listeners, again, we've been joined by Scott Stevenson, and Scott is the president and CEO of Phoebe Ministries. And we'll be right back.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning podcasts that air weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, business, health, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archived programs. WDIY podcasts are on 88.1 FM, streaming at wdiy.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to A Closer Look. Listeners, as you know, we had a wonderful conversation first with Scott Stevenson of Phoebe Ministries, And now here in the studio is someone I've known for a long time. Her name is Diane Pagano-Mangus, and she is the Senior Investment Manager for Truist Foundations and Endowments. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you, Laurie.
Sure. Have you been to the studio before?
I have been to the studio before to visit Margaret and learn more about her then new role as CEO and Executive Director.
Oh, that's wonderful. DIY holds such a place in our community. Mm-hmm. Don't you agree?
I agree. I'm a listener and I'm a member.
Yep. Again, we were talking earlier. We appreciate you've been a great fan of this show. So thanks so much. And that's why I'm so excited to have you here today. And I just want to just jump right in. I see you at so many community events. You are so supportive of our incredible nonprofit partners. Tell us to kick things off about your role at Truist Foundations and Endowments.
As Senior Investment Manager with our Foundations and Endowments team, our role is to partner solely with nonprofits and providing investment and administrative solutions to them. So if you think about a nonprofit who has an investment portfolio, it can be an endowment. It doesn't have to be called an endowment, but we are that investment partner.
And what is it about the work that you love?
It's so fulfilling. It's really a culmination of decades of investment experience on my part, and now to be solely focused on serving nonprofits, you know, it's come full circle in allowing me to bring my best to the table and to help nonprofits at the same time.
That is so great, because you're talking about, you have purpose-driven leadership and purpose-driven work. I mean, I feel like I have that opportunity as well in my role. And, you know, it's such an honor to do that kind of work.
That is the word I would use. It is an honor.
Yes. Tell us more about the nonprofit community and the leaders that you work with.
I'm really blessed to be surrounded by leaders who have such a heart for the constituents that they serve. And that's so unique for the nonprofit industry. And not to say that leaders of other industries or sectors don't have that compassion, but when you see as a leader that what you're doing is directly impacting your outreach, it's got to be fulfilling for them. And so for my team as their partner, it is so fulfilling for us as well to know that at the end of the day, we are helping not just a handful of people, but a lot of people.
So you have such a good view of the nonprofit community because of your great involvement. Could you tell us, do you think the Lehigh Valley is in good hands? Just what are some of your thoughts and insights and musings about the role that they play?
There are two ways to approach that answer. Specifically for the Lehigh Valley, the nonprofit community is in good hands for that leadership that I mentioned, but also with the branding of our region as Lehigh Valley over the past, I guess it's been a few decades, but it feels like it's been very recent. I think that that helps everyone to feel like they're coming together for a greater purpose and feeling part of this larger yet small community. And then for nonprofits, broadly speaking, you know, there are a lot of challenges going on right now, and it seems like everything is hitting at once. And so when we're talking to our clients or just talking to nonprofits in general, we want to make sure that they're aware of some of the things they might not have had to think about in the past, whether it's investment returns, you know, forward looking, or the impact of some of the governance and bills, not just on their bottom line, but on their donors' bottom lines. And so things are changing that in ways that might not be evident, but we're helping folks to start having this conversation about expectations.
Thank you. Thank you. So well said. You are involved with nonprofits in such a unique way. You know, some of us, I mean, you're at so many events, but you're also, I'm guessing, spending a lot of time one-on-one with leaders like Scott Stevenson and, you know, so many other organizations. Can you give us an example of a nonprofit that you're with them and you know that you are doing exactly the right job, you're at exactly the right place, really helping and supporting that nonprofit?
I might answer it a little more broadly because I think so highly of so many, but our team hosted a Maximizing Impact Breakfast a few weeks ago here in the Lehigh Valley, and we invited the leaders of nonprofits to come, whether they were clients or not. And our ability to, again, just have those honest conversations. And for me, I'm coming to the table professionally. I'm serving nonprofits from a professional standpoint, but also personally. You know, as I looked out in the audience, there were so many organizations that I personally support because they're so near and dear to my heart in my, you know, having grown up in the Lehigh Valley, that it's just so very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Yes, I heard a lot about that event. Mm-hmm. I know the nonprofits really appreciated it. Tell us about the title of it, Maximizing Impact.
Yes, Maximizing Impact can be thought of in a few ways. I talked about investment returns, and you know, we've all been blessed to have had double-digit returns from the markets, the stock market, over the past couple of years. This year will probably be a third in a row. And yet, that's not the norm. Mm-hmm. And when we take a look at forward-looking returns and our investment team, you know, there's a lot that goes into that decision and that formulation. We're seeing more solid single-digit returns. So the good news is, yes, the market is mm-hmm. still expected to provide positive returns, but not the double digit that's just been recent. Mm-hmm. And so going back to that concept of not just impacting the nonprofit's bottom lines, but also their donors. Giving USA came out. They do an annual summary of the giving trends. Mm-hmm. And that just came out. It was from 2024. And the takeaway was that donations increased, but they were entirely due to donors' stock returns having increased. And so when you think about, it's really a double whammy. If you're a nonprofit blessed with your own endowment, your returns will be maybe more modest, and your donors' returns will maybe be more mm-hmm. modest. And so when you're thinking about maximizing impact, every dollar counts. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that not only are they thinking about that, but they're partnering with not just our firm, but we featured other firms, other organizations at that breakfast to say there are a lot of people in the Lehigh Valley doing good things and being good partners to nonprofits mm-hmm. and make sure that, I know folks aren't resting on their laurels, but make sure you're not.
Exactly. Let's talk about you and your journey. How did you get here?
Fun. Grew up in the Lehigh Valley, and okay. my very first job was working for a brokerage firm, Warren W. York & Company, right on Hamilton Street, 8th okay. and Hamilton.
Wow.
And that was my first foray into the investment world, and mm-hmm. I haven't looked back. So I've always been in the investment industry, in my case, always serving institutional clients. So not a personal wealth advisor, I'm always, and now specifically just nonprofit institutional clients. But the other part of the journey is that giving back and just feeling blessed to have grown up in a family in Allentown where my parents were just givers and lovers and welcomed folks. And then being blessed right from the outset with that very first firm, Warren York, we would volunteer at the PBS Channel 39 on-air auctions in the late 80s. And then I joined Meridian under the Meridian Bank umbrella. So mm-hmm. part of the United Way, not just the campaign, but the days of caring each year.
Mm-hmm.
And now with Truist, which was a culmination of previously BB&T and then Nat Penn here in the Lehigh Valley, we've got lighthouse projects. And you talked about being purpose-driven. That's actually our mission, is to be a purpose-driven organization and lifting our heads up and looking out to see how can we be helpful in our community. Time, talent, and treasure, that means different things to different people at mm-hmm. different times in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so well said. And I see Truist volunteers out there volunteering mm-hmm. and doing what they do. So you mentioned you grew up in a family, those were values that you had. Mm-hmm. Was there one person, one mentor? I always love to find out who, when we think back, who really touched our lives. Is there a mentor that you could share with our listeners that really impacted your decisions?
I like to think of mentors in that concept of influencers. I know mm-hmm. today that term means something
yeah.
differently, but folks who've influenced me, and I think of it in terms of a mosaic. Is there Beautiful. Just one person? I think we can all say there are several people who have impacted us in different ways at different times in our lives. Even today, I continue to be positively influenced by you, Laurie, and others that I see in the community. But certainly going back, it would have to be my parents, Janet and Lou Pagano, just loving people that were caring and giving in ways that, you know, that time, talent, and treasure, it wasn't three different buckets or entities. It was just, that was just a fabric of our lives. What do you need? We'll do it for you. We'll give it to you. We'll help you.
As you think about the Valley, again, you have such a unique perspective, as I said earlier. Do you see that spirit of volunteerism and giving?
Oh, my goodness. The volunteerism, the giving, the collaboration, the more I witness it by attending the events that you referenced, and I attend as a professional, but boy, has it been impacting me personally to see so much genuineness and heartfelt giving and caring. There are a lot of needs in the Lehigh Valley, and I think anyone listening who wonders, well, how can I or what should I don't think you have to look much further than just lift your head up, see what resonates with you, and start to show up.
Yep. You know, I see you at so many of the events, and in fact, we were just recently together at the Linney Awards put on by ArtsQuest, and we saw new artists, young artists. So it's not just one sector or another.
Right.
It's you can volunteer, you can be involved in the arts, in human service, in education, in government, in public service, in safety.
Yes.
So much opportunity. When you, because you were touched by mentors, you grew up in a beautiful family and people have helped you, have you served as a mentor to others coming up?
I have. I have both officially, you know, where I have that mentor-mentee relationship, and I'm part of an investment organization where it's called Invest in Her Future, and the S is a dollar sign. So we partner with university, usually juniors, usually women, and just talk about what the investment industry looks like, sharing our journeys with them. So that's on the formal official side. But unofficially, I tend to be the person that people will come to and ask for guidance or advice. And I love being that person. And I think it's because I'm a good listener. I really genuinely care and listen to people. And I think people respond well to that.
So when they reach out and say, can we have a cup of coffee for this or that? So you've really gotten to know kind of the next generation of leaders. Are you optimistic?
I am so optimistic. I had the benefit of attending. I mean, kudos to the Lehigh Valley Chamber. We touch so many different segments in our society, and one is that young professionals organization. I'm not a young professional, but I attended one of their events just a few months ago, and I was blown away by the level of professionalism and collaboration being shown at the younger professional level that I tend to mostly see among the nonprofits or among the Women's Business Council, and not to say there aren't young professionals, but to see them all in one room was very impressive, and I have a lot of hope for the future of Lehigh Valley.
Oh, that's great. Diane, our time is over, unfortunately. We're at the end of our time together. But before we leave, is there a piece of advice that you would give to someone who's maybe thinking of getting involved as a volunteer, not quite sure? What might you tell them?
I think lift your head up and see what is touching your heart. And then when you become aware of some organizations, go on their website. Every nonprofit has its mission statement on their website. See if that speaks to you. And I'm certain that you'll find one that does. And then also on their website, sure, there's always going to be a donate button. So there's always that option. But a lot of times nonprofits will have their events posted.
Yes.
Show up for an event, even if you're not sure you want to commit. It is almost a little bit like vetting to make sure, you know, our time is precious. Everyone's time is precious to make sure that this is the organization you want to give your time or talent or treasure or all three.
Perfect. So well said. Diane, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Laurie. Really honored to be here.
Oh, well, thanks. Listeners, as you know, we were just joined by Diane Pagano-Mangus, and Diane is the Senior Investment Manager for Truist Foundations and Endowments. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And listeners, thanks for joining us for another program of A Closer Look, where we have the chance to meet such interesting people like tonight, Diane Pagano-Mangus, and earlier, Scott Stevenson. We look forward to seeing you next month on A Closer Look.